Amen. Thank you, Brother Abernathy. It's always a blessing to have him. And as he said, what a blessing it is to have three generations singing in church today. Amen. I hope that's true about you and your family. You guys got me on this other mic. Turn me up a little bit if you would. And don't just try to trick me out by turning up the resonating mic back at me, all right? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, Matthew chapter 6 in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 6, I do appreciate everybody being here, being in your place, and I really invite you to come back tonight. What a blessing it'll be to be in God's house and to celebrate 68 years of marriage for Pastor Miss Carter and then also Pastor Carter's birthday. I hope you'll be here and be a part of it. Matthew chapter 6, a very familiar passage of Scripture in verse number 19 today. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19. I want to pray once we have found the Scripture today, and I want to read the Scripture, and I want to be able to preach a message with the title of No Neutrality. No Neutrality. I do believe that for all of us, if we're not careful, every once in a while we will stick it in neutral and try to coast one way or the other, amen? And that's not the entire message, so I hope that you'll listen and But I do want you to pray and ask God to help you. I want God to do what I can't do, to go in the hearts of the hearers today and do a work in your soul and mind. But I want you to also invite Him to do that work today. So as I pray, if you would pray this morning, let's pray together. Dear Lord, I pray that you just do a work today. Lord, I pray you take your word and do the work. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would use me as your messenger boy to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. I pray that if there's a person here in the building today that is lost, that today they'd be saved. If there's a Christian today that is stuck in neutral, Lord, I pray that you would move them into a place, Lord, they'd go forward and not back. God, I pray that you'd be with our church. Help us, Lord, in this revival meeting that's coming up to be revived, Lord, to move forward for you, Lord, to be revived and to not just move forward creeping along, but to go fully forward for Jesus Christ in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew chapter 6, the Bible is going to give us some things that are very, very familiar, but I'm not sure if we read through it, the context and what is being spoken about, whether that is going to be as clear as verse number 19 and 20. But I want to tell you what neutrality is. I know a lot of times we don't think about it. The term itself originated way before World War II, but it was made popular during that time as America tried to do its best not to just have an isolationist type of view or be isolated from all the other nations. But neutrality was where they were trying to, a lot of the words that we use, cash and carry, came out of that period in the 1930s where we were allowing for people to come and buy goods or arms and then take them on their own boat. America was doing everything it could to stay out of World War II. It did everything it could to stay neutral in between all the parties that were there, even though we weren't. We just didn't want to get into the war. And the term itself is this, the state of being unengaged in disputes or contest between others. The state of taking no part on either side. I'll just say this, that it wasn't until 1941, and to be exact, December 7th, 1941, that America realized that it could no longer be neutral, but it had to pick a side because it was attacked. Now, we could use the term unprovoked attack, but I'm just going to tell you, we were selling arms to Britain and France and everybody else that eventually became our allies in the war. And you say, well, didn't we sell equally? No, we didn't sell equally to others because they were building their own bombs and their own bullets and all the things themselves. But I'll just say today, you say, well, listen, I don't know where you are today about so many things, but you're not neutral. You're leaning one way or the other already. If you're in church today, the things about God and Satan, you're leaning one of those directions. You could have come in today and you said, you know what, I feel like I'm neutral in this thing and I'm trying to decide what side I'm going to go with. For most of us, we're not as neutral as we think we are. One of the things I believe is the plague of this age is Christians trying to stay neutral on things the Bible says we ought to pick a side on. I mean, for instance, I mean, and I don't want to go off on a tangent for all the things that are right or wrong, but it is just overwhelming to me that we would stay quiet. And because it is becoming more and more popular in the scene, but again, against sodomy. Again, genderism. We've heard it preached here before, but we ought to realize that, folks, I'm just going to tell you that a man with a man is wrong, according to the scripture, and you ought to choose the size on that. You know, and we ought to come to the place where we realize there's two genders and they were created by God. And that just because people think themselves another cat, think them another gender or think themselves a cat, it don't make them a cat. God created them and they are who they are. And for all of us, we've got to come to the place. Now we can say amen and get on with the big things, but there's other areas of neutrality in our lives that we ought to be able to get on God's side. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now you have heard people preach, maybe not with the same title or from the same angle, about treasure and about where your heart is. The Lord is building to a place, and he's going to ultimately, if we read all the passages of scripture I want to read this morning, get to that. But listen, for all of us, we understand, and every time the preacher preaches on treasure, every one of us reach for our wallet. We begin to reach for things and to hold on to things that we feel like we're laying up in the bank. I'll just say this, that this message is not pursuing your wallet this morning, and it wasn't built off of that. God doesn't want your wallet. He wants all of you. But your wallet does come with it. You know, God wants us to lay up treasures for ourselves. Most of us think that way, that we're going to lay up treasures in heaven, but you can't take money to heaven. You can't take cars, houses, or land to heaven with you. Laying up treasures in heaven is making investment in eternal things. This gauge, we do give money, but this money, we would, listen, if all missionaries did was invest their money in foreign banks and we made more money or they stocked it up, we would be in a poor investment portfolio when it comes to missions. We invest our money for souls. We send missionaries to go and spend themselves and the money that we gave them so that they could tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, because money doesn't go to heaven, but souls do. So we invest ourselves in the things of God and lay up treasures in heaven. And it's not, we're not trying to return dollar bills. God doesn't need us to put money in heaven and lay bricks in the golden streets up there. He doesn't need a dime from you to build the mansion. God's got every building material that he needs. What he desires is for us to be about what he was about. And that is found in Luke. Again, it's just this, that he what? Came to seek and to save that which was lost. For us to lay up treasures in heaven, we've got to be about the same business that Jesus was about. That's sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Not just on Sunday morning or when it's convenient, but to be about the treasure that is what Jesus is about. You say, preacher, why are you saying that? Because I believe in these last days, we only got so much time to lay up treasure. We've only got so much left to invest before he comes. And you say, preacher, why? Because I do believe in the area of soul winning and witnessing, we as Christians have come to a place where we formed a wall of neutrality. If someone asks me about it, I'll tell them, but I'm not going to choose a side and defend my side. That's how most companies want us to live. Although they can spew all their junk about evolution, they can talk about billions of years, and they can put it all on the screen, but when we start saying anything about how somebody truly gets to heaven and how young the earth is and all the things, listen, can we just come to the place where we decide we are not going to be neutral about our faith, but we are supposed to share our faith with others? Now, I'm just going to tell you, I don't want to walk around, and I'll just say it this way, and I'll use this microphone for this. You guys are going to be mad with me. You folded this up so nicely. this is not how I go through life. Attacking people. Wham! The gospel. Wait till they turn around, right? Wham! Right? I mean, I'm just saying, you know, you say that's not effective. Yeah, I get that. But what I'm trying to say is sometimes we take neutrality and choosing a side as that somehow we have to molest the people around us to be able to help them understand the gospel. Can I just tell you that for all of us, we don't just have to wait for them to ask, but we can start the conversation. On a regular basis, people are wandering around this world, and many of them are wondering about where eternally they're going to spend eternity. They're wondering about what is an eternity and what is the truth about the Bible and what is it that this says and how is that? You know, if they found a friend that really had chosen a side, they'd ask you about what you believed. You know why they don't ask you? Because they think you're neutral. They think you're in a state of, I don't want to discuss political or religious things. Now, some of you practice that at home. I hate that for you. Do you know one of the things that ought to be absolutely in unison is the home? Not having to live in a place of neutrality, but I mean on the same page about the Bible. Especially, listen, you got trouble if you're in the same home and one of you voted for Biden, one of you voted for Trump. You know, I pray for you. Amen. There is no peace in that. You say, preacher, why are you getting at that? Because again, we ought not to be neutral in political, spiritual. Even for this, I'll say this, things that really matter in what we're talking about in investments. Laying not up treasure for yourselves, treasure upon the earth. You know, most of us, if we're not careful, the neutrality, we're not truly neutral about this thing. Our focus on a daily basis is laying up treasure like we're going to stay here forever. Taking no thought that one day Jesus will come and snatch us away from this place. And what I will have laid up in eternity in this life is the only place that'll matter. We pretend like financially. Now, listen, I'm just going to tell you, financially, that doesn't matter. Listen, but, you know, we don't just, where I come from, laying up stuff, the age that I came from was financial, was the Kmart. Now, I know it's gone by the wayside, and how many of you know what Kmart is, all right? You just dated yourself. All right, now. Kmart didn't just have a blue light special. Those were awesome. All right. Now, for some people, they thought the cops had come and they ran out the door, but it just cleared out the way for the rest of us that realized that there was a bargain in that area of the store and that if you went towards the blue light, it was a good thing. That area, it was cheaper than it was ever going to be. And that, you know, and so you could go get that item, but my people were not independently wealthy, not where I grew up anyway. And so if we were going to have Christmas, we had to go down there and we'd go shopping months ahead of time. And then we didn't take the things that we chose out. And Mom was even good about not showing us exactly what we were going to get. But they'd load up the buggy with things. And, you know, we'd say, I'd like this and that. And then, you know, grandmom or my dad or somebody that was with us would take us off to another area of the store and they'd head back. I didn't realize this till I was an adult that where they were going with that buggy was to layaway. And they went back to layaway, and layaway was pretty good, and they didn't charge you hardly any interest, and they'd take all those items and they'd store them up because they really didn't want to sell them. But they would put them away and you put money down and you put money every week on that. And it was a thing until finally it was paid off and then it was yours. Now, there's not as much of that anymore. Most time they tell you, we'll give you $25 off of this if you fill out this form for a brand new credit card through us. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, for all of you that don't think that you do layaway, your credit card being loaded and you paying 20% interest on it is worse than layaway. Much, much worse than layaway. What the store used to charge for their layaway doesn't hold anything to what that credit card charges you to put it on, load it up on there, and keep paying for the rest of your life. You say, preacher, why are you getting after that? Because instead of laying up things and treasures in heaven, we think the earthly things are more important. We think we have to, we live in a now, I want it now generation. So we load it up. And instead of laying up things that will build and build until one day we get to walk into the heavenly gates and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, because of what we've laid up, the treasures we've laid up, we're worried about all the debt that we're in. We're worried about all the credit cards that we've run up so high. And instead of thinking about our faith, we're no longer neutral anymore. We're just trying to dig out from what we've buried ourselves in. Because we, what? We build up treasures on earth. We heap them up to ourselves. And in most cases, what's sad for the Christian, not just the Christian, but most of Americans, have done it on plastic. And what goes forward and the decisions they'll make in this life are not determined by what they want to do for the Lord, but what they have to do to pay their bills, what they have to do to pay off those credit cards, what they have to do. Because we don't think about it, but listen, no man can serve two masters. Read on the scripture with me. Go back to the Bible with me and look at this. In verse 22, it says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee is be darkness, how great is that darkness? I want you to see this, all right? I know that many of you don't think that all the marks in the Bible are inspired, but that verse ended with a what? An exclamation point. You know the way we ought to read that verse? Screaming. He ends it, thy whole body shall be full of light. No, it's just a period. Look at what it says. How great is that darkness? Can I just tell you that light is important? Do you know when you got light, you can see truth? You can see what's coming at you. You can move and dodge things. Guess what happens when you are in the dark? You know, because it happens to you unless you got night lights. You bang into things. You beat around in this life, not purposefully, but trying to head somewhere, but you can't see your way. Do you know that scripture is light? The scripture is life. How would you love, listen, how about us being neutral in our Bible study? Neutral in the way we live according to prayer and reading our Bible. And we listen, we instead of putting light into our lives, we look into everything else. Listen, I already got on credit cards, so I'm going to make even worse mad now. Most of us take our screen. I got mine over here. And this thing is what we're counting on giving us light. And what it pumps into our lives is darkness. And how great is that darkness? Can you trust everything that comes through this? Can you say that everything that comes through this is truth? Absolutely not. But if you spend as much time in the Word of God as you do reading profiles and things that other people post about themselves, you would have so much light in this life. You would be full of light. But when, listen, can I just tell you, take the exclamation point to heart that you find in the Word of God, and how great is that darkness? This is a tool of Satan. And its greatest, listen to me, listen, I want you to understand this. Its greatest power is to distract you from what is right, what is true, what is important, what is eternal. It's not something that is inherently evil itself, but it listens to you. You don't think it does. AI don't work just for you. It works for Pizza Hut too. And I told my wife the other day, honey, I'm feeling pizza for dinner tonight. And the next three ads that came up on his magic box were Pizza Hut, amen, Papa John's, and Domino's. And I swiped away Domino's because I don't eat that mess. And my wife likes Pizza Hut, so I swiped it away too. I said, Papa wants Papa John's. And we're funny about that, that kind of things, right? And we enjoy, but we enjoy the truth. But listen, we don't think, I mean, listen, on a daily basis, we don't always pick this up and think, I'm doing something that is inherently evil. But when I choose, I have chosen where my treasure lies, with where I spend my time. Not just where I spend my money, but where I invest my time. So where are we? Listen, I'm preaching to the choir. Preacher, I'm in church. That's good that you gave God this hour. But where are all your other hours going to be spent this week? This is not just a place. This is a place we come together and we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together and so much more. It encourages us to be in a place and to realize that other people love the same God that we love. Sometimes it's encouraging to realize that they struggle with the same things we struggle with. It's important that we be encouraged or pray for each other with things that we're struggling with. That's what church is about. But on a daily basis, we should have a worship with God, a walk with Him, a life that is shining light into my life and pushing out the darkness. You realize that darkness fills up the space and light fills up the space. And depending upon what you're putting in that space, it's pushing one or the other of those out. Every day I wanted my life, I want not just to have my treasures in heaven, but I want my mind and my heart to be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, this body, I can choose to do all kinds of things with this body. This body is frail and it gets weaker by the day, but it can be renewed from on high. Strength, spiritual strength. Now, I don't know about you, but When the Spirit of God reveals brand new doctrine and blessings to me, I feel renewed in the inner man. Not necessarily strong to run a race, but run the race that is set before me in the Christian life. For all of us, we have to come to the place where we realize in verse 24, if you would, look back at the scripture with me. No man can serve two masters. For he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The entire message, treasure, our time. But again, for us, if I could say, who is your master? Who is it that when they say you do it, you will do it? Who is the person? Now, I'm not asking you say, well, when I'm at work, it's this. No, I'm talking about there ought to be a governing body above all else. There ought to be one that gives direction, that's always true and always right. That every time that person calls out for me and gives me direction, I'm going to do what he says. Can I just tell you that, do you know for every man, you either serve God or the devil with your life. You know, you say, well, I didn't choose either one of them. No man can stay neutral in this battle. There's no neutrality. Every man will serve. And by the way, when you just serve yourself, you're still serving the devil. Because a lot of people think there's three options. I can serve God, I can serve the devil, or I could serve myself. There's some people that lie to themselves, and while they serve themselves, they think they're serving their family. But ultimately, it's to fulfill the same goal of is humanism. That this is all there is, and we will teach our children that the highest God is our family. Can I tell you who the highest God is? God. He said in the form of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he wants to reside over not only you personally, but over your family, God's family and the church. He wants to be the one that saves you, redeems you. You say, preacher, why are you getting after this? Because you got to choose. You know why we give ourselves to this? Because we forget who our master is. Because we think we're neutral or that this box is neutral. You say, preacher, why are you getting after that treasure? We think, listen, what is the greatest evil, the Bible says? What is the root of all evil? The love of what? Money. He starts off with treasure. People that have treasure, you know what most people trade their time for? Money. What do you get from this? You don't even get paid to look at this. Stealing your time for nothing. And we go all the way through, and now we're come down to where the nitty-gritty is. It's not just about our treasure, and it's not about just our time. It's about who truly is the master in our life. Is it us? Or is it the one that bought us? I'm preaching to Christians right now. Those of you that have accepted Jesus as Savior, listen, if you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, Adam, way back in the garden, decided for you who owned you. He thrust all of mankind. When you worship yourself, humanism, all of mankind is subservient to the devil until they allow themselves to be redeemed from their sinful state because of what Jesus did for them on Calvary. Aren't you glad today, Christian, that Jesus came from heaven and died on Calvary and redeemed you from not only the sins that happened in the garden, but from your own? And the wonderful blessing is that one day I found out that he gave me, the moment I got saved, he gave me the Spirit of God to live inside me, to save me from myself, to where I give my treasure, to where I give my time, to who I pay homage to. Listen, if I really had a master, I would want to meet with him on a daily basis to get direction from his word. I'd want to talk to him and have him talk to me. I'd want to love that master. The Bible says that. Look at what it says in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and will love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And I just say to you today, a lot of you are in a state of thinking that you're in neutral or a place of neutrality. But you can't be neutral in service. You're going to serve a master. And we ought to all really look inside ourselves, what master am I serving on a daily basis? Who really owns the decisions that I make? Is it me? I'll just say this for myself. What is it that God, listen, I'm just going to tell you, you want to know the measure of what would stop you in the Christian life? What is it that God could ask of you that you would say no to? And you'll find out who your master truly is. What is the measure of your Christianity? And what it would take to stop you is exactly what you would turn to God and say, I will not go there. I will not do that. I will not be obedient. Listen, then you're not neutral. You've chosen a side. And for all of us, you say, preacher, how do I get past that? I'm going to read this to you today for time's sake, but I want you to just know this, that for all of us, he goes through this process and he says all these different things. And he says, so if I'm truly in chapter 7 of Matthew, in verse number 7, and all to help you remember that, you want to go back and review it. Matthew 7:7, a lot of completion, isn't it? Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Do you know that for every one of us, the Bible says in verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth. That means that we have a God that if you ask him for the right things that you need to have him to get past the area of neutrality, you're not going to be turned away. You're going to receive. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And it's speaking primarily to the lost man who is not neutral but has the devil. But for the Christian, do you think that once you become a Christian that you get to stop, that you have to stop asking and receiving? Absolutely not. That's what prayer absolutely is. Do you think that if you seek God after you're saved, he's going to turn you away? Absolutely not. The entire Christian life is all about seeking after God and knowing him. And how many of you, when you feel like you're on the outside of things, that somehow I got away from God, and there is a wall between the two of us. If you're truly a Christian, you ought to realize that Jesus said that I am the what? The door. And this is the truth for the Christian. I want you to pick this up. You get to Revelation, and we use that a lot for salvation, but that is Jesus knocking on the door of the church. Because what happens is when he's not the treasure of our heart, guess where we put him? We put him on the outside. And most of the time, Jesus is the one doing the knocking. Hey, I really would like to come back in. I would love to have that position that you once gave me, a master in your life. I'd love for us to work together, co-laborers together with God. I'd love to work on you because you're my workmanship if you just let me back in. Hey, listen, everybody that knocks, he opens to. But most of us, the reality is, he's on the outside looking in. He's not just trying to knock, because for all of us, most of us have squished him down into one corner of our heart and shut him up in a room so we don't hear him anymore. And he's in there knocking. Hey, could you let me out? I'd like to have all of you. I'd like for this not to be a split, divided life where you think you're neutral in all things or you're in a good place, but I'd love to come in. Sup with you. Ask and you receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. It's promised to the Christian. But it's not just a promise to the Christian. It's promised to the lost man. That same God, listen, before I got saved, he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everybody asks, receives. Anyone that would seek salvation. If you're here this morning, you're seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'll be honest with you. Even in eternity, there's no neutrality. Everybody will go to one or two places. There's no purgatory like people have tried to make. There's no place in between. There is a heaven that is going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ that he paid for with his own blood, dying on Calvary and rising again. Or there is hell that was created for the devil and his angels. And man will spend eternity there and be separated from God because of his sin. Say, preacher, why are you saying that? Because I want you to see the reality. You can't stay neutral. There's too many people in this world that say, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. It doesn't matter if you don't believe in God or not. He's real. It doesn't matter if you don't believe in the devil or not. He's real. And you will spend eternity with one of the two of them depending upon your decision. And this morning, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you ask and you'll receive what the Bible says, eternal life. It actually says it's the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God the Father chose you to be saved before the foundation of the world if you'll just reach out to him. Jesus did the work of salvation in dying on Calvary and rising again, and he freely offers the gift of salvation because of what he's done if you'll simply ask for it. And the Holy Spirit of God is that saving agent that comes in and seals us. Do you know there's a bunch of people that will teach you that you need to keep your salvation once you're saved? God does the keeping of salvation too. You don't do the keeping, God does the keeping. He did the choosing of who would be saved. That means, and again, by the way, for all of you that may be slightly Calvinistic in here, he chose all men to be saved. But the fact is this, some people decide to try to stay neutral, and they can't. And they will die and go to a devil's hell because their eternal destiny was decided in the Garden of Eden when man thrust himself. But listen, can I tell you this? My eternal destiny, man's eternal destiny, as far as God is concerned, way before he ever made the first man, he knew that that man would sin, and God formulated a plan to purchase us back into himself. Before the foundation of the world began, God chose us to be saved through Jesus Christ. God's plan is dependent upon every one of us. Because I can't ask for you to be saved and it happen. I can pray for you, but I can't pray for you to be saved. Each person has to call upon the name of the Lord themselves. And if you're in this building today and you've never called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, you need to call on the Lord to be saved. You can't stay neutral any longer. Now you have the knowledge that you can't stay there. So what are you going to do with that knowledge? You're going to accept or reject the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, let me ask you this. In the area of treasure, the message has been given. Are you going to accept the knowledge that you've been given and lay your treasure up in heaven, or are you going to reject God and say, God, I'm not doing that with my life? How about this, the area of my time? You're going to give your time to the Lord and respect and realize that God, that I've given all this time to everything that's earthly and I give very little of it to my master in heaven. You either accept that or you reject it. How about your master? If you're here today and you're a Christian, but you boil it down, who really is owning me? Who is my master? Is it me? Is it the person I look at? Am I driven by my own desires and my own thoughts? Or am I directed by God? Am I a follower of Jesus Christ? Or do I serve the things of the world and the devil? Listen, I don't know what God has spoken to your heart about, but I ask you to do this. Would you do business with God this morning? We're going to have an invitation. We're going to invite you to come to the altar. If you need to call on the name of Jesus, I want you to do that this morning. If you need to come and see him and say, God, I need to come back. Lord, I need to get right. Lord, I need to see it that way. Boy, that phone is owning way too much of my time. I'm investing way too much of my money in earthly things, and I need to invest it in the cause of Christ. I don't know what it is that God spoke to your heart about today, but would you stand to your feet with me today? I'm going to pray here. And listen, as the musicians make their way, if you need to be saved, the invitation is to you. I invite you to meet me in the front and let me take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Let's pray together this morning. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I pray that if there's somebody in here, Lord, today that knows that they've never called upon the name of the Lord, that today would be the day of their salvation. God, I pray for those that are Christians today, Lord. I pray that they would no longer be in an area of neutrality, but they would give themselves wholly and solely to the Lord in all these different areas. We ask it in the name above every name. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Brother Bert's going to sing. Would you step out and come and do business with God? Just as